This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What's up, sisters and friends? Happy Monday, everybody. I hope you're having a great week, a great start to your week, and a great Thanksgiving. Y'all, I don't care how close you live to your family. When you see your family in public, it is always something exciting. And I happen to run into all these hooligans in public. And this podcast was just supposed to be mom and dad, which it will eventually. But Will was in the office today with Abby, and then John Luke was here, and Bella was here. And I was like, swag fam, unite. So here we are.
You say in public, actually at our Duck Commander office.
I know,
in public. But it is kind of rare for us all to be. It's very rare. When have we ever all been here at the same time?
It is rare.
In the office.
But I have to say, even on the way here, me and Bella probably saw each other yesterday. Actually, did we? Yeah, we did. And Bella's like honking at me because she's behind me. And I'm like, yay. Like, I get so excited. I'm like,
I know. Yesterday when I left you, I said, see you tomorrow. And then I walked away. I was like, will I see you? Probably.
I always assume I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, exactly. But it's still exciting. But Will and Abby were the kickers today.
That's right.
Y'all made it extra fun.
Yeah, well, we're coming home because we're working from home from Texas. And I got super excited because I was like, oh, everybody works at the office now. Mm-hmm. So now we can just go and work with them.
Actually, recently, we've all been here together.
Yeah.
Because now y'all are working up here, but not dad's not up here that much.
At the same time.
And then for y'all to come.
Yeah.
But I never checked my Find My Friends, so I had no idea that you were going to be
here. I did.
So I was totally surprised.
Because I stalk everyone in this family. And I saw Will's location. I was like, oh, Will's home. And then I got here, and Mom was so surprised. I'm like, do you people not look at Find My Friends?
Oh, I don't. Do you know it? Look at Abby's story. I saw it on Abby's story.
I'm off Instagram right now.
I always keep up with Abby's story.
Nobody else knew that we were coming home except for John Luke, because I texted him last night and I was like, hey, you're gonna be there tomorrow? He's like, yeah. It's like, okay, we're gonna be there too.
Yeah, because anyway, they're gonna work it.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Low-key offended.
I see mom in town all the time. She never sees me. She never knows my vehicle or that it's me. And recently, I got behind her at a red light and blew my horn because she was on her phone when the light turned green. And I blew my horn. And
she probably didn't know
it was me.
No, I didn't know it was you. This is new information for me. But now my car like dings when the red light changes. So
you need that.
Anybody needed that. A few months ago, I was in the car with Mom and John Shepherd, and she was playing toot noises on her Tesla to John Shepherd, and doing that, she sat through two green lights in a row.
How do you even do that?
That's actually true.
She did. She sat through two in a row.
They're very fast green lights. That's
you know
true
why she
to do that.
That, right?
Why?
Because she's actually tooting and like, hey, you want to do that? Hey, let's do this again.
So, that is the Tesla.
She's the volume's all the way down. She's just.
That's not true. See, we needed the whole family for y'all to really get to know K Swaggy. Y'all see Corey on the podcast, put together, businesswoman, full of the word of God. And today you're getting
to be acting all smart and all that. But this is the real.
And this is the same woman who gets her grandkids in the car and they say, KK, go fast. And she lays on the brake on her Tesla and then just lays on the gas as fast as she can.
Corey,
and
we're like, all the roller coaster. Get those 5 G's.
They love it. And they're like, go fast. I rode with her and John Shepherd, and I was like, I literally am car sick.
If you ever see Mom on the road, just go ahead and pass her. Just let her do her thing.
I want to be the fun grandma.
You are the fun grandma. Well, we do have a podcast to get to, but I wanted to start it with the whole fam here as we're celebrating Thanksgiving and all the things, the holiday season. So, Mom and Dad, y'all stay. And I also just had to say, Mom was the one actually booked for this podcast and the latest one here. Everyone else was on time. But we're going to get to
it. I had to go see our store because Bella decorated our store for Christmas.
Oh, that's
Duck Commander store.
Go
come to the Duck Commander store. It's all decorated for Christmas. It's so cute.
Hang on. I got here on time. You were
late. I was late. Yeah.
Mom went to the bathroom late, so I was wondering why I got here on time. So, I should have known with all the girls in the family.
That is true. You always, if it's 10, it's 10-ish.
Yeah, I always say 10 minutes. is not really late. Like, you got a 10-minute window.
And now you know why I'm always 10 minutes late. This is who I was raised by.
If you, like, 15 minutes, you're late. Within 10, you're...
Thank you. Sorry. I'm gonna receive that. Well, we're going to hop into it. Thanks, fam, for joining.
Yep.
All right.
That was so fun.
Okay, so now we're actually going to jump into the podcast, except for in the meantime, while my family was walking out, I was like, so y'all ready to talk about generosity? I was going to share with them some of the questions I had prepared, into which Dad goes, wait, generosity, you told us gratitude. And then Mom was like, yeah, you said gratitude. I was like, I said gratitude. And Dad pulls up his Bible, was like, I have fully prepared for this conversation to be gratitude. And I have fully prepared for this conversation to be generosity. So,
we're like, it's around Thanksgiving. Gratitude makes sense. So we went with gratitude.
And then I was thinking the next day is Giving Tuesday. So we should talk about being generous. So we are going to marry the two. And you know what? We're just going to go for it because we have a lot to talk about with both subjects. And I want to hear everything that you prepared for gratitude because I'm sure it's so
Well, don't oversell it. Good grief. I wouldn't say this is...
Well, your scripture.
I just wrote down a couple of thoughts. But this does remind me of Mom and I's marriage over 31 years. Oftentimes, we'd both come together and each would be thinking we had a completely different conversation we were going to have, but we weren't on the same page, but we would end up getting on the same page. So,
well, this time y'all are actually on the same page. Y'all both thought gratitude.
Yeah, we both thought.
And Mom prepared.
Mom.
Well, she's got all her notes. I just live grateful.
That's good.
I just prepared.
That's You know what? I've been saying that lately. I used to prepare for sermons like word for word, and now I prepare my heart because I'm like, if I'm living it, then it will naturally overflow. And if I had to prepare word for word, sometimes I'm like striving to say those words that I plan when it's like, you know what? I'm living prepared. My life is prepared because day to day I'm walking with the Spirit. So no, I like that.
Normally I do prepare for these. Whenever we do our messy conversations.
We got to prepare for
these. I do prepare. But this one, I counted on Dad was with us. So I was like, he'll prepare.
Gratitude.
When I was a teenager in the youth group, we used to do this thing called Preacher on the Spot. And so the youth minister would call you up and
That's
give
cool.
you a thing and say, go. And so you just had to go. Which was really good because in life, when you're talking to someone, you never know what's going to come out.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can be prepared if someone has something going on. And so you're like, whoa, I didn't know we was going to end up talking about this. And so
it's
kind of train you to be on your feet, you know.
Well, in that verse about always be prepared to give an answer for the faith hope. That you're called to for the hope.
For the hope that there you go.
I like that on the go. Like, we should do that more because then it prepares preach more people to be ready to like share. You don't have to be like a preacher to preach the gospel.
Generosity, go.
Go.
Gratitude, go.
That's good. I like that. Okay, so what I was actually going to ask y'all to start, which you can go both ways with this, about being grateful and, you know, different seasons of your life, but also being generous, is that y'all have really seen two different sides of life. Like when y'all got married, y'all did not have any money. Y'all were living at Camp Shioka. Arguing over a baseball card or a magazine for the week, which could y'all afford? You could only afford one. Who's going to get the extra thing that week? And then, of course, years later, you have a TV show called Duck Dynasty, which means y'all ended up doing pretty well. So y'all have been in two totally different seasons of your life where, you know, you don't have as much and you do have as much. But I feel like, have you been able to see in your life, even when you didn't have as much and you have a lot, the difference in your generosity or gratitude, has it stayed the same? Has it changed? What does that look like for you in two different ways of life?
I would say I think that we were both really fortunate to be modeled that from our parents. Like both of us had parents that lived different lives. Like they lived down the river. I lived in a neighborhood, you know, that whole thing. We lived very differently, but generosity was very much at the root of both of our families. Both of our families had homes that were very open, and the idea that people were much more important than things was definitely taught to us, told to us, and actually lived out to us. So I think that even, you know, whenever we were newlyweds and first married, we had that example. So we still lived very generously and also with gratefulness, even during that time period. So yeah, it's kind of like what you really do with little, you will actually do with much.
Yeah,
I think is really a truth. And not that, you know, we've ever been perfect in any of it or lived perfectly. And there's probably been seasons where we've lived it out better than others. But I do think we both kind of had that at our core, at our base, because we saw that in our parents.
That's good. Y'all, I love summertime. It is my favorite season, and I'm so excited to jump back in. We are approaching the best time of the year. But no matter what your summer looks like, KiwiCo invites kids and kids at heart to enjoy their first summer adventure series. Kids can receive 6 hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks, no matter what their age is, with enriching activities that accompany each project. KiwiCo has something for everyone, with different topics for each age, from space to dinosaurs and so much more. I am so excited about the summer series. We actually are getting this little driver that I know Haven is going to love because it's a little steering wheel and she loves anything active. And also a little like neighborhood fun one where they have a water paint thing, which is so good because it's not going to make a mess. And Honey is so into painting right now. And painting with a 3-year-old, yeah, that's just hard. So I'm excited for the no mess. KiwiCo offers kids a chance to get outside and explore screen-free with projects like the Bottle Rocket Kit from the Summer Adventure Series. They can turn the outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. Every Summer Adventure Series with KiwiCo is a personalized experience that includes real engineering, science, and art projects. And you'll be impressed with how high quality all the materials are. Everything we've gotten from KiwiCo has been absolutely amazing and such high quality. I know sometimes it can be hard to find creative, engaging ways to keep your kids away from the screens and just having fun, but KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can focus on spending fun and quality time tackling projects together. The KiwiCo Summer Adventure Series is personalized to your family and can be received all at once or weekly for 6 weeks, depending on your schedule. If you like it all at once, that's great, or space it out a little bit. Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off your summer adventure series at kiwico.com/SadieRobSummer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at KiwiCo, KIWICO.com/SadieRobSummer. Spring is a great time to start something new, right? So whether it's cleaning or a new hobby or a new audiobook, a good story is always a great way to start a new journey, and Audible has all that you need. I come from a family of great storytellers, so I know Audible is the home of storytelling, which is where I want to be. Audible lets you enjoy all your favorite audio entertainment together in one app. There's always something new to discover, or you can rediscover some of your old favorites. Audible has an incredible selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestseller, new releases, memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, business and more. It is the destination for mind-blowing entertainment with selections of mystery and thrillers that will keep your heart racing. And with next listen recommendations, there's always something irresistible at your fingertips. Plus, members get full access to a huge and growing selection of included audiobooks and Audible originals and even podcasts like Well That's Good. So you can download them or stream them anytime, anywhere. Audible members can also pick one title each month to keep from the entire catalog, which is some serious benefits, y'all. The newly included selection of titles makes your Audible membership even more valuable and gives you the chance to discover your next favorite thing. With thousands of titles available, you're definitely going to find something that you love all in one convenient app. So I know some of you are into, you know, thrillers, crime, mystery. And I gotta be honest, that's not really been my thing. So I told Bella, okay, Bella, tell me what I could like listen to that wouldn't scare me, but I would like be into it. And she told me about this title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And so I started it and John Luke loved it too. And so I'm just now on the cusp of it. And y'all, let me tell you, it is very entertaining. You do want to listen to see what happened next. So if y'all are into that, Audible is a great place to find those too. New members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days.
Yeah, I think, to put that to be the historian, I guess. So we grew up, I think with everybody would agree that we're really poor. we just didn't have a lot of money or things or anything as far as me and mom and dad and my brothers. So they'd come out of the hardship and then had big dreams and aspirations. Dad worked hard, mom worked hard, but there just wasn't a lot of cash or money. And so I knew what it was like to be, you know, to be poor. And I wouldn't say hungry. I mean, we, you know, I remember being just starving, but we also could fish and hunt and, mm-hmm. you know, go get food if we needed to. But definitely didn't have money for a lot of these things, which I think mom grew up in a different situation. When she says in the neighborhood, you know, they had a nice house and they had been successful at business. And so then when we smashed together, this is interesting. What then I think we consider now, we say we didn't have a lot, like Corey and I didn't have a lot. However, it seemed like way more than when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Like true. I had a yeah. car, I could buy fuel, you know, yeah, it's like true. Stuff that was really that's tough, cool. you know. And so I felt like, you know, we're doing good. And one of the funny stories that mom and I, we were out by the mall and she says she wanted a Coke. And I said, well, I don't have any money. And she, for whatever reason, you didn't have any money either. And I said, well, I don't have any money. And she goes, but I still want a Coke. Like,
no, I think I said, but I'm thirsty.
Yeah, but I'm thirsty. And I'm like, it still doesn't change the fact that we don't have any money. And so I remember that she was like, well, I mean, if I'm thirsty, we need to buy something to drink. I was like, we're going to have to figure this out. And then even when we got married, like the day we got married, her grandfather did the ceremony. And he had, now, which was interesting about him, he had come from probably way poorer than yeah. I was poor, you know, back in the, I guess, 30s and 40s. And then, but then he had become real successful. And then he was up there joking on the stage because I had to move into the basement of their house for a short time before we got married. And he said, I look out there and I'm like, is this all the stuff you got? Because it was all my little stuff put in the aww. Corner. And I remember thinking like, man, I got a lot of stuff. Like I had a whole dining set. Like I had the little stuff that I'd gotten from.
He was mad at Papa for that because he was like, he didn't like value my little stuff.
Yeah, I had a TV. I had some little like the little dresser drawer and stuff I got from mom, and I'm toting that around everywhere I go. And I was on the stage thinking, well, crap, I thought I was doing pretty good. And he was like, is this all you got? So then from that point. And then we went into, you know, more where we were on the verge of becoming successful. Mm-hmm. And I think, which is probably the most scary time, because I think when we first got married, it was like, we didn't have a lot, but there wasn't a lot of responsibility. Yeah. It's not like you worried about anything. Yeah. Then you go into business and then you get in business debt and you have payroll and you have stuff that you have to pay. And I mean, that was probably the scariest part. I think it's a scary part. People don't think about that because I think young people want to jump ahead and you want to have that security. But you may be, even though you may look successful, you may be like on the verge, like you could collapse. The business could collapse. You can't make payroll. COVID happens. Everything you had set up, you know, is like gone. And so that was probably the scariest time financially. And then going on to being successful. So, but back to answer your question, I think it's two ways. I think there's a heart of gratefulness. I think there's a heart of generosity. I think that's, you know, can be in your heart, but also it's a constant thing where you have to learn and put those actions into it. Mm-hmm. It's a decision that you have to make. And I think you can grow in that. You know, when I think about gratitude, you know, I think, you know, I was thinking like when in James where he says like faith without action is dead. Mm-hmm. And then I think about gratitude or thankfulness without action. It's really not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. If you're just saying, thank you, you know, if you don't turn that into something and put that into, I'm so thankful and I'm so grateful. Now I'm going to do what? Now I'm going to go and help others. And to me, that's the real action point. I even think that's of good. Overall Christianity is when you take that. It's not just taking and saying thank you and thank you so much. Thank you. But then if you turn and you don't do that. And so that's the thing I've noticed and I've tried to help people with is like when I do something kind for someone and then I challenge them and I want to see that happen to someone else. And then, so it always bothers me when, you know, it's like, then they turn around and then they're stingy with their stuff or they're not, you know, they're not grateful. And so that's always hard.
Yeah. Taking that and being thankful and then being generous, you know, with what you've been given. And I think it's true. Like you grow in it, the more you give. Sometimes I think also you grow your faith in it too, because you see that God will provide for you. Cause it is scary sometimes to give because you put yourself out there and you're giving. A lot of times it's a sacrifice, you know, to give. Most times it's going to be a sacrifice, but the more you see God provide and be Jireh, you know, Jehovah Jireh, who is the provider, you're like, okay, I can do this again. Because if God has, you know, put it on my heart to give to them, then he's going to sustain me. And that might look different than, you know, just like financial blessing or anything like that. That just might be sustaining you in other ways. But he's always going to have your back. Like you got to get your daily bread.
I want to say this because I think Dad made a really good point, because I think gratitude and generosity, like, it comes with perspective. And, you know, his point about when we were early married, that that was, you know, a lean time for us. We were, you know, having to be careful about what we bought, and we couldn't go out, just go out to eat, or, you know, we very rarely went out to eat, things like that. But putting in perspective, we were so blessed and so we had so much more than so many others. And so, like, there's a lot of times when you can feel like, oh, if you're comparing yourself to, it depends on who you're comparing yourself to, you know, and that gratitude can, you can be grateful for what you have, and you can look, we can look at the time being like, actually we were great. I mean, it was, we were in college, we had enough, we had a house, we had, you know, we had the things that we needed. And there's a lot of people who don't have any of that, you know, and still live grateful. I was actually just in Mexico, in Tijuana. And there was a pastor at a church who's taking care, taking in people, and literally, like, she's got 50 people living in their church. And she just lived with such gratefulness. She was like, God provides every time. And this is, you know, a situation where they're cooking outside. They just got a washing machine to for 50 people, you know. They don't have a dryer. They don't have, they're hanging everything up, and it rained that day, and everything that was hanging out was like soaked, you know, and they're cooking outside. And she's like, every time we need, God provides. Like we're out of rice and someone just brings us a bag of rice or we, you know, and just living that gratefulness. And that comes with perspective. She could be like, you know, we could have gone into that situation. She could have been like, it's terrible. We don't even have a dryer. We don't have this. We don't have that. Instead, she's like, here's what we have. We have this. We have beds now. We used to sleep on mattresses on the floor, and now we have bunk beds for people. You know, so each of those things just, it really depends on how you look at it.
And I think that is actually such a God thing that I said gratitude, but I meant to say generosity, because I really do think they go hand in hand. Like, if you're grateful, you're able to be generous. But if you have a perspective of like, you know, I'm actually listening to Winning the Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer right now. And the chapter I'm reading right now, she said, you can't be pitiful and powerful at the same time. You can't be like wallowing in self-pity and walking in the power of God at the same time. And I was like, that is so good. And I think when you have a perspective that's like self-pity and all of these things, and you're not able to be generous with what you have. I actually was, I posted about this little girl named Nora Kay on my Instagram last night, because she's a little girl in our community that has a very, very rare form of cancer. And she's 4 years old, and the only chance at a cure is a bone marrow transplant, but they haven't been able to find a match. So I was like blasting it on social media. And I saw this one girl commented and was like, I'm poor, so I can't, like, money's tight. I can't get a swab kit. But the swab kits are free. And so everyone was like telling her, they're free, they're free. Like, you should do it. But I think it was like interesting, because before even like pursuing it, it was like, I'm poor. Like, I'm not going to be able to. Money's tight. But it was actually free. So, like, if you have that heart to just be like, okay, I just want to seek to give. Maybe she might have clicked on it and seen that it was free, you know, but didn't have like the eyes to see in that way how she could give. Not yeah. saying that I don't know her story at all, but I think that just kind of stuck out to me because it is free. So mm-hmm. it's that perspective. And some of the most generous people that I've ever encountered had the least. Like right. when we were in Uganda, yeah. I will never forget going to these tiny huts, literal huts that were made by the people who live in them. And every hut we went to, they offered us something. Yes. Remember, they would offer us like peanuts or a banana, or they were like making coffee beans. And it didn't matter what it was, but like you just felt like you were given the world because to them that was so huge that they just gave you anything with the amount of stuff that they had. So it really is totally perspective and your heart posture. I feel like y'all did a really good job of like raising us generous. And I think that y'all's parents did a good job of raising y'all to be generous people. And actually, just recently, Christian and I were actually, when this podcast came out, just had our 4-year anniversary. And I asked him, I was like, what's something in the past 4 years that surprised you about me that you didn't know when we got married? And he said, how generous you are. Aww. And I was like, that's so nice. And I think y'all done like a really good job of raising us that way. But truly, it was practical things. Like when I can think back to just y'all helping shape our generosity, and I think about us having that jar where we put in like money for, and like eventually one day we were going to go to Africa, you know, and we did get to go to Africa, and then we actually ended up getting to build a school in Africa. But like you taught us to think towards that, you know, it's like give your money here. And it was like, I think part of our allowance at the time and some of your money. And then one day you're going to be able to use this to serve others. Or I mean, there was a lot of circumstances that y'all taught us to be generous, even at 11 years old, taking us to different countries to see people who live differently than us, and like giving to them and having them in our mind and shaping our perspective to what we should be grateful for, even though we didn't have as much when I was younger as like the people at my school did. But I also knew what it was like to really have nothing and be grateful because I got to see that around the world. So what are some ways just for people out there to intentionally keep a heart of gratitude for what they have and also seek to be generous to others?
Yeah, I do think those two things are married. And I'd actually never thought about that, but they're so married. They're so together. In fact, I was trying to think of, you know, have you ever known anybody that's super generous that wasn't grateful? Now, have you ever known someone that's super grateful that wasn't generous? I mean, yeah,
they really
those,
do.
Yeah. They really yeah, do yeah. those two things. And so it's like a, it's like there's a heart, and it's almost like a heart and an action together, back to that kind of heart and that's action. I remember when I was, I went to Peru, and we were going around this little river village of, I can't think of the name of it, but it's a basically a village of probably 50,000. Belen, yeah. Okay. A little village that's half the time in the year it's on water, and half the time it's dry, but and the reason is they don't have to pay taxes if it's in a flood zone. And so these people there have cleverly figured out how to live on in this area, which, as you can imagine, is very difficult, you know, when you're living on water. There is electricity, because I remember I saw a TV on, but there's no bathroom like we had. It's in the water, and these kids are swimming in the water, and this is backwater. It's not flowing water, so I think a lot, it's, you know, kind of disgusting. And when we look at it, it's like, whoa, the smell.
And as the river goes down, the trash, as you can imagine,
trash is everywhere. And so we were, you know, we're boating along, and one of the youngsters, he's probably 18 or 19, who knew the guy we were with, and he actually invited us and said, you can come into our house. And so I remember, you know, I'm getting off the boat and I'm like, am I going to fall through this thing? And I was very unsure. And we walk in, it's probably two rooms, if you will. And I don't know how many people were in there, like uncles and aunts, they slept on this side. And we're just trying to, you know, again, now I'm back to feeling so grateful. I was like, wow, I can't imagine, you know, having adult couples and grandmother, and there's no privacy. There's no, you know, so I was just kind of overcome with that. And so I'm talking to the guy through the translator, and he says that he, his dream is to be an engineer so they can come back and help his community, design stuff and engineer things. And I said, well, what would that take to be an engineer here in Peru? And the whole thing all in was like $5,000. At the time, I was able to say, I'm going to give you that $5,000. Now we're taking the, I'm feeling grateful for what we have and that where we live and turning it into generosity to where I can say, cool. This is a gift for you. And he's bawling crying. Then I'm bawling crying. Then everybody's bawling crying. And then a year or two ago, I got the photo of him in his graduate suit, his degree. So he now he has a degree in engineering. And to think you can get an engineering degree for $5,000, yeah. which is crazy, right? And yeah. And so I know that that's going to impact him.
Yeah.
That's going to impact his wife, his children. He has kids now. And the whole community is around, you know, to know that someone did that for him. So, you know, I think to answer your question is how do you put that in there? One, I think you have to, you know, your mindset is controlled by you and what you think about and how you wake up and how you start your day. And I think, you know, these we get into these negative mindsets. And I would the almost the opposite to me of those two words really is. Is negativity and selfishness. And so those are the two. And so as we wake up in the morning, you know, I promise we're all going to get hit with negativity and selfishness. You know, something's going to be negative. You know, it's like mom yesterday walks. It was like, I cannot get out of bed. And said, not that that was a bad thing, but it's like just human beings. We're drawn into that. What's wrong rather than what's right.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with today?
Yeah.
What's wrong in life? What's wrong in this world? And if we wake up and the minute you grab your phone, probably 80% of the time, something negative you're going to see wrong. Initially, not something positive, you know. And so that's where you start changing that mindset. And so I've got little things that I do to try to kick that off, you know, like in my Bible, I have a photo. It's probably 20 years old of a kid that who's passed away now. He had cerebral palsy, and I just you know, and I'm flipping through the Bible, and I see that photo, and I remember that kid, and at the time I wrote, it can always be worse than whatever I've got going on. I could be, you know, in a chair, and he couldn't communicate, and he would his drool would come down, and we would hug on him and try to make his life, and he didn't live that long, you know, probably till 14 or 15 years old. So again, it's just changing that mindset. I've got a book of Nick Vujicic beside my deal. And I looked at it and I think every day, what if I didn't have legs and arms? Because he does not have legs or arms. And every thought, everything you want to do, you have to ask someone to literally move you.
Yep.
So when you start thinking in those kind of terms, and then it really makes you contemplate whether or not you should complain about most of anything, you know, the things that we tend to complain about. Not that there's not things that go wrong that, you know, certainly, but it's not having that negative mindset. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's people, and we all know people, when I see them, they say something negative.
Yeah.
Well, I guess this weather's going to be, I guess, I'm a car. It's just always, I'm like, I just want to go. Every time I see you, say something negative.
Yeah.
You don't say something positive. You say something negative. And probably most of us know a lot of people who live their whole lives in negativity. Yeah. And those are probably the same people who are not grateful, who are certainly not generous, who are not thinking like, how can I help someone else? And how can I, you know, and I see people get like that too with selfishness. Yeah. And then because then it becomes about self. And I think you wake up with a mindset, obviously, when you read the word, which is, if you read the entire New Testament, it's completely based on less self, sacrifice, giving up, helping others, loving others, all these kind of ideas. And so that's how we just start changing that mindset. And then, and I think generosity is just start giving stuff away, you know, and watch what it does to you. The feeling I had with that kid on that house thing, you know, whatever that shack was, I mean, that feeling, it's a feeling like it's up there with some of the coolest things I've ever gotten to do, some of the, certainly way more than cool stuff I've gotten.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? When I compare that to, I got a new truck or I got some, you know, some clothes or something, you know, it's nothing in comparison with that feeling, that emotional tie, that knowing that that will last for the rest of their lives versus, you know, whatever these temporary things.
And it doesn't have to be something that big. It can be just small things, you know, find someone.
That's what I said. Just start.
Hand somebody, you know, if you notice somebody that needs food, you know, helping them out at the grocery store or whatever, or just if it's not financial, it could just be noticing people and noticing things and where you can step in to help. I was thinking as he was talking too, that, you know, just that idea that take captive your thoughts. And I think we talked about that. I remember when y'all were young, you just really trying to impress one. You're like, you're in charge of your thoughts. Like,
yeah.
You have control of your thoughts. And that's the only, you don't really have control over anybody else. Only you're in charge of you and you are in charge of your thoughts and you can take captive those thoughts. And so I do think it does start with what you think about, you know, and what you ruminate on and how you are you start thinking about what you don't have or think about what you do have and the blessings and, you know, that idea of write down five things that you're grateful for or just wake up and decide you're going to take notice of the things or take notice of the negative thoughts, you know, as they come into your brain, like be like, oh, that was not, you know, that's negative. That's going to take me down a road and take captive those thoughts. I was thinking about also as he was talking, I was actually at kind of a event recently where it started off where it was like, oh, say something, tell something that's like bothering you or whatever. And it was weird, or tell something that's like painful for you right now. And what it kind of did, it felt like from that, because it started that way, it was like the whole time together. It started negative, so the whole time together shifted as like,
oh, that's interesting.
Kind of like complaining and all that. And I thought like, oh,
the question.
Because it started out there and it was like we couldn't get out of it.
Yeah.
Like the whole group. Yeah. It shifted the whole group and we couldn't get out of that. Yeah. And you left kind of just feeling a little deflated, you know? And not that there's time to talk about the hard things, for sure. There's definitely times when you need to sit down with a friend or with a counselor and talk about the hard things. But I do think it's like, think about how when you come into a room, what you're kind of like bringing into a room. Is it negativity and complaining and ungratefulness?
Yeah.
Or is it gratefulness, positivity, generosity? Is that what you're kind of bringing into that space? True.
We actually were on a car ride the other day with some friends, and like from the start of the car ride, I prayed and was like, like, I always pray over the car, but also, like, God, would we have good conversations with the car? Would your spirit fill these conversations? Would they be fruitful? And just praying beyond just safety, but praying that this car ride would actually be a fruitful car ride. And it was so cool because one of my friends in the car, as we were just asking each other random questions, she was like, what's something that you learned from your in-laws that you love that they did for their family? And I thought that was such a good question because then we were all talking about what we learned from our in-laws and our family. And I was just thinking, like, typically in the world, people want to complain about their in-laws over the holiday. Over the holiday season and stuff like that. I have great in-laws. If you're listening to this, I love y'all and I love the holidays with y'all. But I just thought that was such a good question. Like it made your mind go to all the positive things about your extended family. And especially around the holidays, that's not typically the conversation you're having. It's like, how are we going to do both families? How are we going to do all this time? But to think like, what do I love about them that they've set the tone in their family over the holidays? Like, that was a great question.
That's good.
But I was thinking about when you were talking about generosity, how when you gave the $5,000 and they were able to go and get their degree, I think also generosity, especially when it's a God thing, it really does launch something in someone else's life most of the time. It's something that they needed or were longing for, and it might even be the answer to their prayer that they needed to do the thing that they're going to get started. Because one time I had this in my heart to give a certain amount of money to this lady, and Christian and I both felt like we needed to do it. We both agreed on the number, And we both like felt that number specifically. And so we, you know, gave it to her and we were like, we want you to have this. We are not going to take it back. You have to receive this. We are being obedient to the Lord and giving you this. So you have to take it. And she was like, oh, this goes against everything in my nature to receive this. She said, but I will receive this because I have been praying and asking the Lord when is the time to launch this Bible study thing that she had been writing. Mm-hmm. And because this woman has money. So it was kind of random that we felt the need to do this. But she has been praying about the timing to start this Bible study thing that she had written and how she's going to get it out. And the dollar amount we gave her was the dollar amount she needed, like exactly, wow, to start it. And uh-huh, then I just saw on Instagram her doing the thing. Wow. And that was like years ago. And I was like, that is so cool that, yeah, it even, we didn't really know what it was for. It was even beyond the money. It was just her confirmation to go, it's time. You know, yeah, God said, now's the time. And so you never know what God's doing with the stirring in your heart and the generosity that you're going to give. And I was thinking too about just holidays, because this is the time where people tend to get more selfish and, you know, you're wanting to get all these gifts and all these things, or you're trying to give but you don't feel like you're giving enough to maybe your family. Mm-hmm. But when I think back about the holidays, we were talking about this, Christian and I, one day, about we don't remember as much the gifts that we were given but the memories that we have over the holidays. Mm-hmm. And so cultivating that in your household, that, you know, it's fun to get a gift and it's awesome to give and all of those things, but it's also the memories that you make and the feeling that you have and the love and the joy, mm-hmm, and the warmth of the home. And I was thinking about when we went to Guatemala for Christmas that year. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have anything to give, like financially, I was younger. But when those kids, remember, they thought I was Hannah Montana because they looked at their shirt and they looked at me, and me and Miley Cyrus did kind of look like back in the day when she was Hannah Montana. Uh-huh. And they were like, Hannah Montana, Hannah Montana. I was like, the only English they know. Mm-hmm. And I just went with it. And I go, you get the limo ride front. Whoa. And they were like, oh, it's Hannah Montana. And I performed the whole thing. Those were my favorite memories, uh-huh, ever at Christmas. Such, and it was memory, something I got to give. And it, yes, wasn't money. It was singing, you get the best of both worlds, because these kids in Guatemala 100% believed that Hannah Montana came to their village and it made their entire Christmas. And yeah, it was awesome, you know? And so just the way you make people feel is, yes, so generous. And it's so generous to be positive into, mm-hmm, a room. Being negative is so selfish because it just sucks the life out of a room. It sucks the life out of a conversation. But like, being positive in and of itself is so generous. You know?
That's so good. And it spurs on generosity for others too. You know, whenever you're generous and you receive that, then you want to give because you want someone else to feel that feeling as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, thinking about the ultimate, what Jesus gave to us is that idea that like we love others, we forgive others because we were first loved. Mm-hmm. Like we were first given this great gift, mm-hmm, of forgiveness of our sins. So we extend that to others. Yeah. And that is true for like small acts of generosity. When, mm-hmm, someone does something for you, you're like, oh, I could pass this on or I should do this for somebody else, because you know what that feels like. Yeah. And you're so grateful for that feeling and you want that for somebody else.
It's like the drive-through line things. Like someone pays for your meal, yeah, and then you're like, well, I'll pay for the person behind me. Yeah. Well, I'll pay for, you know, and uh-huh, it keeps going on, or you, yeah, have the eyes to see how can I do this for someone. Yeah. And it's so cool when you're generous to people. It's so cool to see the Lord generous to you, you know, yeah, like his generosity to you. And I mean, ultimately, he sent his son to die for you. Yeah. So that's, mm-hmm, the most generous thing you could ever do. Because
but it is weird when it comes back, and I should have done a study on my life on giving something, yes, and then it looking, it just, it's unbelievable. Yes. Like
it's unbelievable.
Stuff that happened, I'm like, I can't believe. Mm-hmm. And sometimes now I'm like, oh, something good's going to happen. You know, yes. I know it. I mean, and not that I'm not prosperity or
not
saying.
The reason why.
That's not the reason. It's just unbelievable how many times that happens.
It's crazy.
Like,
mm-hmm,
you give this and then I look up and this will be provided. And I think for your listeners, I think, you know, don't get into the trap where it's like, well, y'all got money, so you can give money. You know, you can give. Mm-hmm. It's that's not the idea. I mean, I think, you know, Mom and I were giving, you know, tips or whatever, you know, to people way before we even, you know, it's a sliding scale, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think the, you know, the biblical, there's like a 10% idea. And so, yeah, if you've got $100, it's $10, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And give it to something, you know. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm, it doesn't, whatever it is that you want to be, yeah, generous with. That if it's 1,000, it's 100. If it's,
yeah,
100,000, it's 10,000. And so, you know, our scale may be a little higher now, but there was a time when it wasn't. There was a time when I made, you know, $300 a week, you know, and I had 30 of it. And I said, I'm going to give this to something, you know, give it away to somewhere else. And man, when I can give that to somebody, when I can hit a person at a restaurant, a waitress or a driver, somebody that I'm with. And I love it when they say, their eyes cut back up and they say, are you sure?
Are you sure?
And those are those, you know, because you don't know how many times that, you know, where you were talking about the lady down by the border where it was saying God just provided. You don't know where in that where they may tell someone God just always provided.
Yeah.
And it could have been something you gave them along the way. Maybe not giant, but just like God, you know, God provided this. Like when we grew up, like there was these little things that happened that was like, just got us through, you know, got us through to the next month or got us through to where we could pay the electric bill or whatever. Yeah. And those little things, and you can go back in time, find like, I remember that person who said, here's this, and somebody being generous.
Remember when Dad did that for the youth group? So our parents were, you know, the youth leaders at our church for a long time and had youth group at our house as I was growing up. And one year my dad gave everybody money. Remember that? He gave everybody in the youth group cash. And it was like December, and he gave everyone in the youth group some cash, and he said, you have to give this away, and then I want you to come back and tell us the stories of who you gave it to and what happened. And it was the neatest experience. My dad was
cool.
Tupapa is very generous. Tupamama and Tupapa are very generous, and he's, you know, always, you don't know who he's given to or what he's doing, but he's so generous, and he just challenged the whole youth group and like gave them a little bit of money and said, okay, I'm going to give you this money, but you have to give it away. And then you have to come back and tell us the story. And it was so awesome and so like faith building to hear the stories, because so many people are like, oh, I was actually praying for this.
Wow.
I was praying for that, for that moment. And, you know, I think that's a practical way you could do it too. You know, I remember John Luke as a teenager, he used to carry like a 20 in his car and just be like, hey, this is for somebody, and just pray, ask God to say, reveal who I need to give this to.
Yeah.
You know, it could be, maybe it's 10 or maybe it's 5, maybe it's 20, maybe it's 100, you know, depending on what you have financially and can do. But, you know, keep a little bit of cash with you and be like, ask God to reveal, okay, who do I need to give this to?
Mm-hmm. Keeping cash on me. And it's so funny, because when I had cash on me, like, it does not last long, because there's always someone to give. You know, there's always someone that you see that you need to give to. Like this morning, I saw this homeless man that I've given to a couple of times, and I was in a hurry this morning, but I saw him and I smiled and waved at him, and he smiled and waved at me because like he knows me now, you know. And sometimes you don't always have something to give and stop, but even just like acknowledging a person or smiling, waving, I saw the joy light up on his face because, you know, just giving anything, you know, giving your joy, giving.
And not just that. Yeah, I think the time, who was it? Peter and them, who said, money or gold, I don't have.
But, I'll give you what I do have.
Jesus. And so, yeah, I had a friend this week named Chad who called me, and we've got this building that we're working on. He called me, so they turned the water on. And everything's leaking, and he's trying to clean out the toilets. And I feel so bad because I'm not even in town. And here he is, not his building. And I can hear him like gagging, trying to clean the toilets. And I'm like, but what a generous person. You know, I was like, would I do that? Would I go in their building and just be like, okay, I'll clean all this mess up? And because he knew it was just going to be a disaster until I got home. So it's just stuff like that, even to me, is just even your time, you know.
Yeah.
Even during Thanksgiving, I was thinking about, you know, when we have people over for Thanksgiving and family, which again, how many times does that turn into a negative thing? And it's crazy. It's negative in itself. It's like, oh, we got, but it's really the time, like the amount of time that I'll spend during a Thanksgiving to cook for people and to have, you know, to have people over to set that up is part of that gratefulness, which is what that's about. And then generosity as well, which is interesting because you go from Thanksgiving into Christmas. So you go from gratefulness and Thanksgiving into then generosity.
That's cool. Wow. We didn't even know through my mess up of a text that we were onto something. I love that.
And Teddy's next book. Generosity and gratefulness, gratitude.
And how they intertwine.
Yes. Heard it here first.
I was going to say, one of the greatest gifts, I think, as a parent is to see each of you, and each of you are so generous and grateful and live that way in different ways. And as a parent, I get to like know it about each of you and little things that maybe no one else knows. But I love that so much.
It's so, so cool.
It's a gift you've given.
I have to thank you. Yes. Well, y'all have taught me in so many ways and by example, but I was thinking about how you said it is crazy how it always just comes back. And it's not that you expect that and you don't do it certainly to receive that, but this just happened. So I'll tell it because it was really, really cool. So, you know, this year has been crazy because we had another baby, we were building a house. So financially it has been kind of like a crazy year for us, you know, and with LO, we need to hire more people. And how you said it's almost even scarier the more because you're like, oh, this is so much responsibility. Yeah. And I've definitely been feeling the weight of that. And so I was going to do this event recently and I was getting paid for it, obviously. And I was like, okay, this is great because I'm getting paid and I had taken maternity leave and all this stuff. So I'm just now kind of getting back to it. And I was like, this is great. Well, during the event, I felt the Lord say, give everything that I was making at this event to this certain thing. And I was thinking, oh no. And I was thinking, okay, maybe I heard that wrong. It's like, maybe I'll give 10% of what I made because the Bible says 10%. And then I felt Lord say again, everything. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was thinking, okay, how am I going to tell Christian this? Because, you know, I mean, I'm sure he's going to be great with it, but still that's kind of a lot to just be like, oh yeah, I finally went out and did my event and I'm giving it all away. But I felt Lord say, give it all away. So it's like, okay. So I had, and this was all internal dialogue. Like I hadn't told anybody. You were sitting right beside me. I hadn't told anybody, like, I'm going to give everything. But in my heart, I felt like the Lord said, do it. And I had just kind of agreed, like in my heart, okay, I'm going to do it. And as soon, I'm telling you, as soon as my thought went to, okay, I'm doing it, I got a text from one of my teammates that basically said the exact dollar amount I was making came in another way, in another form. Mm-hmm. And it was just like really, really cool to me because I felt like if anything, it was just the Lord checking my obedience. Like, will you say yes? Yeah. Will you obey? Mm-hmm. And even to the second, like I needed to say yes before I got that text that something else was coming because he needed to know I would have given it even if I didn't know something was around the corner, you know? Yeah. And it was so cool because when I called Christian, I like told him the whole thing. I was like, this is crazy. I felt the Lord say, give it all. And I said, yes. And I was a little bit worried, like, how am I going to tell you? Because I know everything's been kind of crazy. But then the second I said yes, which then it was able to build both of our faith and just knowing that like God is going to ask us to give and we need to say yes. And even if it's not always to the dollar, because most time, like that's never happened to me before like that. But man, God will provide. And so that was just like a cool story that just recently happened.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't normally share that, but I just want to build your faith, who's listening, to know that, you know, God really does have your back and he wants you to be obedient. But he also, when you're filled with that gratitude, you're going to be able to be more generous than you thought you were able to in the past. It just changes your whole perspective.
Dad,
let's read some scripture. Okay. But go ahead, Mom, before we
move. I was going to say, I have one more story on gratefulness. Cool. And we can do this before or after, but this is kind of an extreme example, but I was thinking about this is, it shows you how like when you practice gratefulness, even whenever something really bad or hard happens, it's there. And so we've told this before about how when our house got shot at, you know, back in 2020, we had someone shoot at our property and it actually went through John Lincoln and Mary Kate's house. And it was very scary. I mean, they were in the home when it happened. And so I get emotional now telling about it. It was very scary. But I remember John Luke saying, and he said, you know, actually, like, it was a really good day, except for that just few minutes, you know? And we were like, you know, actually, it really was. Like, it was a beautiful day. The sun was out. We were outside the whole day. Everyone was around. The family was in and out. We had ordered lobster from lobster from Maine. And then
this drive-by shooting happened at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Like at night. Yeah, it happened in the afternoon. And then we still cooked lobster and everyone came over and we had a good day, you know? And so, you know, that was a little bit, I was like, well, maybe we shouldn't talk about all the good that happened because it was scary. Yeah, it was very scary. But it was such a posture of like gratefulness for John Lake to just point out. I was like, actually, other than that few minutes, it was a really good day. And it was. It really was true. And we were all healthy. And that was the thing that just when after it happened, we really didn't focus on what happened. We were just like, we're so grateful. We're all fine.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we were spared. Like no one was hurt. It was like, we really, that night as we ate lobster, we were just like, we're just grateful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, this bad thing happened, but no one got hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were okay, you know? Yeah. And there's times when people do get hurt and things aren't okay. And mm-hmm. and that is that's a tough situation. And we've lived through that with other people recently, you know. But to see people who, you know, when things even aren't okay, like a friend who just lost two of her children in Iraq. And it's just so devastating. But the way we've seen her live, even with gratefulness.
Every Facebook post is about the goodness of God.
Even with gratefulness, even when things do not come out okay, it's just such a beautiful example. And something that, like, I feel like we're learning from through her.
Yeah. You know, Brene Brown says that like gratitude defeats fear. And I think that that's kind of what John Link was doing in that moment of like, we could be really afraid tonight.
Yeah.
That someone shot through our house and that's really scary. Mm-hmm. But instead, I'm just going to be grateful that we're okay instead of like sitting in the anxiety, which Brene Brown says like she studied shame and all that stuff. But actually, the Bible really says, you know, don't be anxious about anything, but with everything, with prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And it's like, instead of just being like anxious, I'm going to be prayerful. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be grateful. And that kind of starts to defeat that fear, that anxiety.
Yeah.
Dad, take us to the word. Let's root this in some truth.
Be a good button up. Mom's double segued her last thing. And then even the ones you said, which is in all these circumstances. And then the other I want to touch on is another scripture out of Thessalonians about what you should be thankful for. Because I think sometimes we get off on, like we're really thankful for the wrong things. Yeah. Or we're like thankful for like, oh, I'm so thankful I got the job, or I'm thankful I got this, or I'm thankful this worked out for me. Which again, we got to be careful that what to be thankful for.
Yeah.
So this one small passage, you know, you could spend your entire life just trying to figure out how exactly to do these things. But look at the things that are tied together. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So just think about those three things right there and look at how they're tied together. And I'm telling you, with prayerfulness, with being thankful and being joyful, just think about what type of different person you would be. Mm-hmm. And then I think as your parents, Sadie, and then these are the kind of ideas we have about, and you were talking about what we taught, and it's really what you should be thankful for. So when we look at our kids, you know, I hear parents, and not that it's bad, I mean, whatever, like school and jobs and, you know, things that kids do in life are, they're always great, but what we're really thankful, what I'm thankful for, and Mom is seeing this in you guys, over in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Mm-hmm. That's what he was thankful for, that your faith is growing and your love is increasing. Mm-hmm. And so when you really think about what really to be thankful for, because I think sometimes we get off and go like, oh, they're happy and they have a job and they're doing that. And usually we talk about what they, you know, they've got a great house or an apartment or whatever that is. And not that we can't be thankful for all those things, but what I was going to be most thankful for was seeing your faith increase and your love increase, you know, in Jesus Christ. I was like, I want to see that. That's what we can be thankful for. Because that'll help you in all the circumstances.
Yeah.
But, you know, because if we're going to be thankful in our circumstances, what if something goes bad? Well, it's not what if, it's when. Something is going to go wrong, when somebody's going to get sick, when someone's going to pass away, all of us will.
Yep.
None of the, you know, so it's when these things are going to happen. Yeah. How can we remain faithful to doing that when your faith increases and your love increases.
That's good. Man, this turned out to be awesome. I'm so glad for that mess up, which was actually just a setup. So thank you, God. You know, I listen to other people's podcasts all the time, and one of my favorites is Back Porch Theology, and Lisa Harper ends it with a prayer oftentimes. And then I was just listening to the Duck Call Room the other day with Bella on it, and they ended it with a prayer. And I feel like it's only fitting that we pray at the end of this one, because I feel like truly, if you just ask the Lord to begin to change your perspective, man, if half of you went out and started living more generous, the world would be a better place. If all of you did, man, we'd probably really feel the shaking of the ground. So let's just pray over this and seal this, asking the Lord to help us be what we're talking about. So Lord, we just come before you and we ask, God, that you would, if we need a change in mindset, if we need a change in heart, that you would purify it, that you would sanctify it, that you would turn our eyes and shift our perspective towards you, Lord. And God, I pray that when our perspective is shifted, that we would become grateful people. We would become generous people. God, give us eyes to see the people who need our generosity, who need our obedience. And Lord, maybe that's with a financial blessing. Maybe that's with a smile. Maybe it's with a hug. Maybe that's with a specific thing, a cup of coffee. God, I just pray that you would give us the eyes to see it and the heart to say yes to doing it. Lord, I pray that our faith would increase. I pray that our love would increase. And I pray that the world would see you through the way that we love, like it says in 1 John. So God, give us just the actions to go out and be the hands and feet of you. Lord, we love you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.